Hello and welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and of course on our podcast. I'm Ailey Packham and we are very proudly brought to you in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well, the cones have been put away, the bibs have been packed, and it's time to get another season underway. We have a new boss, some new players, a new kit, and the same hopes and anticipation that greets us every August. Hertzler's team warmed up for Saturday's season opener at Everton with a comfortable 4-0 win over Villarreal at the Amex. But was the team he selected close to that is going to line up at Goodison? Only time will tell. Well, this is obviously the pre-season preview, which means we've got the band back together again. And this also means that on Euphonium, we have Alan Wares. On Glockenspiel, it's Andy Bass. On bagpipes, it's Marcus Hancocks. And on washboard, we welcome Phil Shelley.
What are you playing?
I am playing everything. I am conducting beautifully.
No, this is not a band I really want to listen to.
I definitely want to hear Marcus's bagpipe solos, particularly where he's just been last week.
But In that case, I want this band to do a rendition of Trucks.
Wow.
Big Trucks.
Is it the Kendall Carson song?
I don't know who it's by. All I know is that whenever Phil and or Lou are driving back home, they sing this sort of...
Yeah, Kendall Carson.
I don't know who it's by, but it's actually quite... It gives you quite an earworm. And I've only ever heard this song once. And I'm so tempted. I'm sure probably people would join me to cut my ears off if it ever came on the radio again.
We know what we're closing with now, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. Happy new season. The big kickoff this week. And before we start, obviously we've got to say hello to our esteemed former sponsor, Phil Shelley. How are you feeling? Big announcement from you this week.
Yes, indeed. No, I'm fine. Thanks very much. Had a lovely summer, bit of travelling about the place. Yeah, kind of raring to go. I went to my first proper competitive match last weekend with Stenning playing in the FA preliminary extra round, which was good fun.
They
won 4-0.
Good.
Good game against a team called Hilltop, who are based in Brent in North London or Northwest London. They're a Somalian team. They're all Somalian migrants. They're absolutely fabulous bunch of people. I'll tell you what. A nicer bunch you couldn't imagine. Their families, their fans that came along, and they were just fabulous people. Even though they got humped, and Stenning Football Club did them the right thing, made sure there was a vegetable curry and stuff like that, so it met with their requirements. And I thought, I like football like this.
Yeah,
it seems a lot more genuine.
Obviously, you put out the announcement about oldfootballshirts.com this week. End of an era, really, isn't it?
It is a bit. It's sort of it's a bit bittersweet, but it was time to do it. We couldn't commit to it anymore. We didn't have the skills to do what needed to do to it. I'm hoping that the new people will make it even better. I've had lots of very, very lovely messages from people. And so we sign off, hand over the keys at the end of the month.
Okay. How's it feel?
No, very disappointed, if I'm honest with you, but it needs must. Also, I'm not
as disappointed as I am. I've got nothing to like fall over.
Don't worry. I'm sure the new guy can come up with some flowers.
I can't even spell chrysanthemum, let alone say it. But
you have to bear in mind that the vast majority of flowers are certainly all botanists and scientists and what have you, AD. They know their plants by the Latin name or the scientific name, most of which are...
Some of which
you've just used a Latin name there for a particular flower, but some of them are impossible. So, yeah, I'm looking
for... There's a flower called Phil's shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. So let's get on with it then. New season, new hope as ever. Looking back then, with a little bit of hindsight, how are we feeling about last season now, Marcus?
It was all right. The first half was absolutely brilliant with the excursions into Europe and playing, a good brand of football, media darlings, and it was all very exciting. And then, it's fair to say it tailed off during the second half of the season. But, you know, overall, because we had European football, which is something that we may not happen again for a while, if indeed ever, I've got to say it was a good season. It's just a shame how it ended with shaking hands and, you know, mutual disagreements, shall we say. Yeah. Onward and upward, though. New season, new team, new manager.
Yeah.
See what happens.
I mean, Marcus just said, that we fell over towards the end of the season. How much have you put, or that are you putting down to the injuries, and how much are you putting down to our esteemed former Mr. De Zerbi?
I'm going to say six or one, half a dozen the other. It's a combination
of both.
I think, you know, you can't downplay the effect of the injuries, the fact that if they were two key players were missing for an extended period of time. It also meant that the players that were still upright had to take on a much bigger workload, and they just ended up getting worn out as well. And I kind of feel that, looking back on it in hindsight, I might not have said it at the time, but it looked to me like, Roberto had checked out quite early in that second half with frustration. I think that kind of got through to the players as well. I'm not saying there was a lack of effort, because I would never say that about our players. They worked really, really hard, but the heart wasn't there. The fire had been put out. Sadly,
are you saying then that Roberto put his whole stall down to the Europa League campaign and not down to the league?
Well, to be honest, we're all in Rome, and we saw what happened in the Stadio Olimpico. I think that was the beginning of the end, to be honest, because I thought he got everything wrong in that game. The way we set up, you could see how we were going to get cut open.
Mm.
And we were slightly unlucky with their third goal being offside, but really, that's when the wheels started to loosen on the old charabang, so to speak, and they came off not too soon after.
Okay, well, I mean, Roberto's gone. Obviously, he's gone to Marseille, which is an absolute basket case of the club, as most of you know from last season. I'm not quite sure how long he's going to last there. I suspect it's going to be quite him and the ultras over there were they're pretty wild, weren't they, Marcus?
Yeah, absolutely. It was probably the best atmosphere of any game I've been to, bar none, to be honest, as reflected in the first half performance of the Albion. They were overawed by the occasion, although we then grew into the game, and obviously, you know, we came away with a point in the end, which was probably deserved. But that first 20 minutes, backed by that crowd, it was, and even someone like Mark Raven, who's watched England in many stadiums, including that one, has said that's the best atmosphere he's ever seen. Yeah. So, that says something. It really does.
Now, Philip, in football, you have that rite of passage, don't you? One day younger than the players, and then you get a little older, but you're still younger than the manager. Now the new manager's younger than the players.
I could be the new manager's father.
I think we all could, actually.
There's a story that needs to be told.
where were you 31 years ago, Phil?
In Texas?
Ooh, I was already married, that's for sure. It's going to be fascinating to see if he's got what it takes to not only step up into a top flight league, but to step up into pretty much the toughest top flight league. He sounds good when he talks. You know, he seems to have a lot of experience for someone so young. He's very happy to talk about where he got his experience, and others have written it. Good on him, to be honest with you. He's the bloke that's down there. I've been older than the manager for quite a while now, so happy to see him succeed and delighted for him. As I said, it'd be interesting to see if he can both step up a league to a top flight and do it in the Premier League. And no reason why he shouldn't. You know, he's going to have some good people around him.
Yeah,
he's got a fantastic board supporting him, and obviously there's a few players left who are going to really assist him as well, but just by the fact that they're Brighton through and through nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the thing is, getting back to the point that Marcus and Andy were making just now about sort of like the season, and yeah, the first two thirds were pretty good all the while we're in Europe, and then, like I said, we had that horror show in Rome. It's that at least I think that in the lead up to that, and let's face it, how excited were we until until we got to the first game in September? The club, I think, having seen the mistakes that likes of Birmingham and West Ham and Wolves and a couple of others had made in qualifying for Europe and letting their Premier League form suffer. Now, I think it's something you said last week, AD, there's that our form from the Rome game onwards, or from the Rome home game onwards, was basically relegation form. But at least it was relegation form where we had been top six, top eight, until sort of like February, March. So we'd laid the groundwork for us not to be that problem. Now, as I like to say, I think as Andy has just pointed out, you could see the weariness creeping in, both physically and mentally. Like I say, the half of the team was on the treatment table, and that's another thing that the Albion have looked to address, look to have addressed, is the medical staff. Or were they doing the job that they could or should have been doing? So, you know, there's still, even now, you know, as much as the club prepared as well as it could for that season, you know, yeah, we, the last third of the season, we were relegation fodder, we were relegation material, but we'd laid the groundwork in place to make count that we weren't going to follow in the footsteps of West Ham and Birmingham, who had relegation problems all season. And it's down to that, that we've, like I say, the what looks like the kind of falling away of attitude a little bit. But it's that prep that means that we can attract the likes of Fabian Hertzler and people of his ilk. And so it always leads me to believe that, you know, should the next sort of like arbitrary number 19 bus come along, the club's replacement is already, I mean, like I say, probably the club's already got Hertzler's replacement in mind already, not because we want him or need him, but it's just, that's the way they operate.
Mm. Okay. Well, we've seen some players come in. We've seen some go. We'll come on to the new players very shortly. But, I mean, we talked about it last week, didn't we, Al? But, I mean, I've got to put it to the panel.
Go for it.
Pascal Gross, is he the greatest Albion player of all time?
Yeah, I think he is. He's certainly the highest scorer in the Premier League for the Albion. You know, he struggled a bit towards the end of last season, but as Andy said, that was probably because there was a load on him and Gilmore and little chance of a rotational rest. But, you know, he absolutely bust a gut for the Albion. Club legend, deserves a statue outside the ground. Whatever plaudits he gets are fully deserved. He is probably, undoubtedly, the Albion's greatest player. Of all time, until the next one, of course. But
Andrew, would you agree?
I think he's in the conversation, definitely. He's certainly in the conversation with Statue. Certainly, I would say he's the best player since we've been at the Amex. What he's done in the Premier League has been utterly remarkable. Goals and assists, just, you know, and I was one of the people that wrote him off about 2 or 3 years ago. And I, you know, someone could probably dig up the receipts of me saying on this.
What made you say that in the first place, Andy?
Because he was old and I thought he was getting slow, and I thought we were becoming a younger team. And I thought maybe, you know, it was his time to move on. Yeah. And I think there was a period where it looked like he might want to go, and obviously, like I will probably be on many more occasions on this show, I was completely wrong.
Andy, don't forget, he was never fast to start with, so I mean, it was always slow. We are coming up to this weekend's opponents, Everton, the venue for the greatest Pascal goal of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And also a goal scored in slow motion.
It was where the replay was faster than the original action.
Yeah, it was absolutely hilarious. But, you know, I'm with Marcus, you know, wherever the statue committee is meeting, get Pascal Gross number one on the agenda because he's been absolutely brilliant. Shame we couldn't say goodbye as fans, but it does sound like he wants to come back at some point, maybe the winter break or something like that. He can pop back for a game at the Amex or something around Christmas or something, and we can say wave goodbye then, or get Dortmund to do a friendly at at Amex next summer.
Phil, let me put this to you then, mate. Given that the Albion do struggle to offload their ex-players, in other words, like a slinky. Slinkies don't keep coming back, do they? What a boomerang, that's the one. And we've just re-employed Tom Ahmed. Can you see Pascal Gross coming back here in a couple of years?
I can't see him coming back in a couple of years, simply because I think once he's gone back to Germany, he's going to be in Germany. He's going to be at Dortmund, however long he lasts as a player there. I think he's probably more likely to find himself being offered something there, and for the same reasons that he wanted to go back and finish his career in Germany and play for Dortmund, the same reason would be why he'll end up working there, not here. I don't think he'll come back. I think he'll come back and visit, and he'll get a hero's welcome. Legendary player. I mean, I'm not going to bang on about him being our greatest ever player, but I'll tell you what, he's definitely in the conversation, as Andy said. But to be honest with you, I can see him being one. He'll stick in Germany once he's gone.
I agree. I mean, one of the reasons he wanted that because he wants his kids to grow up in Germany and be educated in Germany. So, the family situation is often overlooked when you're talking about players, and it's like, it is equally as important as what they do on the pitch.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall when Inigo Calderon and his wife had a conversation saying, by the way, they've offered me a chance to come back to Brighton. What do you reckon? Well, I say fly on the wall. I think a sort of cricket bat off the wall.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was sat next to Cooley on Saturday, so it was we had a lovely chat. Mostly about paddleboarding, bizarrely. But
I can well see him doing that, actually, and I bet he's bloody good at it as well.
He hasn't got one. He wants to get one. But
it won't be long.
Very strange. Okay, well, the first ball in anger is going to be kicked on Saturday afternoon. Are you happy with the current makeup of the squad, Marcus?
Overall, yes. I think I'd like another central midfielder. Seems James Milner seems to be the favourite in that position at the moment. I'd probably like another right back as well. Obviously, question marks over Tarek's fitness. And obviously, Jack Hinchelwood was filling in there, but that wasn't his actual natural position, of course, which is midfield. So what the hell do I know? Overall, yes, but I do think there is room for one or two more signings. Certainly, if there's noise around Arsenal sniffing around Pedro, potentially, well, that could just be tabloid tittle-tattle. I'd be sad to lose any more players. Not talking about the fringe players. And I think Gilmore potentially is one foot out the door at the moment, although maybe not, but then he didn't play on Saturday.
What's going on with him?
Well, I was in the press conference on Saturday. Fabian was very non-committal about it. He did indicate that there may be some issues with him not understanding the idea what he wants at the moment, which is consistent with what Roberto was saying, but it will take some time. I mean, he was asked if he was what the situation is. Is he going to be going? And he said he's had many conversations with him. And he is in his plans at the moment, but he said anything could happen between now and the end of the month.
Well, if you remember, I think when Roberto first turned up, wasn't it the case that that Gilmore later said that he had many sessions screaming at him? Almost not bullying him. I'm not going to use that phrase, but sort of like really strongly cajoling him. That RDZ could see something in Gilmore that possibly Gilmore couldn't see himself. And I'm just wondering, and it is purely wondering, it's purely speculation, if again, Hertzler sees something in Gilmore, albeit slightly different from what RDZ wanted, that Gilmore himself doesn't realise he possesses. I'm just wondering if there's an element of that.
I think so. I mean, we know he's a very, very talented player. And he's just constantly busy, is it? He always wants the ball. He always wants it in tight areas. He knows how to recycle it and give it to someone better. I mean, he's not going to get the goals. He's not going to get the assists, but he'll give you something solid. It's just a case of whether that's something that Fabian wants or needs.
No, it's an interesting one. But yeah, I mean, what's the story then of this fellow, the Turkish fellow we're looking at? Is it Karagioglu?
Kadıoğlu.
Yeah, it's just paper talk at the moment. All right. Can't really comment.
What I was really looking at was things I've said is that he's keen to make it happen. So I suppose this is that awkward thing, is the debate that we could have every year is that should the transfer window shut before the season starts, or, you know, like say the 2 weeks that we've got this year where normally it's about three or four?
Well, they keep it open until like the other leagues start. So yeah. That's why I do it. I think with Kadıoğlu, I think it'll be a brilliant signing if we get him. But for me, it's always been a big if. This just seems to be a transfer that was waiting for some kind of gazumping, and there are all sorts of rumors.
Waiting for Chelsea is what you're saying.
Well, no, not necessarily. No, not Chelsea. I've heard there's a couple of other teams that might be gazumping, and it could just be purely be a wages thing. So because the teams I've heard that are in the mix don't offer as good a prospect as us, but they might offer a few more quid a week. It really just depends on how the negotiation's going, what his and his agent's priorities are. So we'll wait and see. I'm not holding my breath. If it happens, it happens. I'll be over the moon. If it doesn't happen, we're just going to have to get on with it.
Okay. Well, my concern with the makeup of the squad at the moment is we're just one serious injury away from a disaster in defence at the moment. And we are...
As we were last season.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that Lamptey's back in training this week. I know that Purvis isn't too far away either. He should be back out on the grass in the next week or two. But even then, he's not going to be match fit anywhere near the first team for a little while. Same with Evan Ferguson. He's back in training this week as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. But, I mean, you know, you're looking at... I mean, Dunkey started on Saturday. Looked a little... A bit rusty, to be fair, in at times. Van Hecker was Van Hecker,
though, won't he?
He'll get back up to speed quickly. But you know, you've got three central defenders at the moment, and Eagle's not been anywhere near the. He went to Japan, didn't get on the pitch. I understand he has got a slight knock, so that might have something to do with it. But he's not really been featured and all being talked about. So I think he may be surplus to requirements.
What are they doing? Are they training with concrete footballs or something?
Well, you did actually like comment on like Roberto training with a sniper watching them. So
I mean, so we got some new quacks in. I'm hoping they can fix them a lot quicker than.
Yeah,
the last shipment did, but you know it's quite frightening as to how broken our players are on such a nauseatingly monotonous basis.
Yeah, but okay. Well, one feature of pre-season thus far is there have been a few players that have featured very heavily. We may stick around, or they may go out on loan. But I mean, they've not looked out of place, and that's Jeremy Sarmiento, Andrew Moran, and Yassin Ayari. They've all looked fantastic so far pre-season.
New manager, new hopes, new chances, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, I particularly like the games in Japan, which I did watch. You just get the impression, like, you know, Sarmiento wants it, and he's just prepared to put the work in. I mean, you know, given like the sort of the amount of knockbacks he's had at the Albion, I think he's really showing a great attitude. Ayari's shown some maturity in the middle of the park, and his ability to play a through ball, which is, you know, key to Hertzler's game, looks really good. I mean, it's good to see some competition. I mean, you know, maybe some of the more headline players were missing on those sorts. You get an opportunity to play, and you might start changing some minds, you know, and it's good to see
I think Sarmiento is someone who I was genuinely excited to see back. I mean, all right, he was still a sort of a wee slip of a lad when he first turned up for us, and there was bits and pieces where you saw, you know, you think, well, crikey, you've got a lot to learn here. There's a lot to, but you know, he's going to do his confidence a world of good when he gets promoted with Ipswich Town. Albeit he was in the team that got beaten by Maidstone, but you know, his confidence will be flying. And I agree, Andy. I think that if we can keep Sarmiento, I think he's certainly going to be. He's for me the next Pascal Gross, in as much as he is the one who is probably going to be the most flexible in what he can do. And I include sticking him at right back unnecessarily if absolutely necessary.
I would disagree with that. I think if you're looking for someone who's going to do that, it's going to be Baleba. He's been playing most of preseason as a left back. Which is a feature of Hertzler's teams that in his career so far, because they do come inside quite a lot and they do become a midfielder. I mean, my concern with it on Saturday was that we left ourselves so open just to the ball over the top time and time again. I mean, Villarreal should have scored after 30 seconds. It was worryingly sloppy. But I mean, I think Baleba could possibly be starting the season as an auxiliary left back.
Well, I'm just wondering if it's actually going to, when you say auxiliary left back, I'm just going to think if he's actually going to specifically be challenging Estupiñán for it. What's to say that, you know, in as much as Jack Hinshelwood, let's face it, every time we've seen Jack Hinshelwood play, for example, he has been so comfortable and at home at right back and still sort of a work in progress in central midfield, even if that is his natural position. For that, I'm going to sort of say, well, look at Baleba again. You know, maybe his best place that Hertzler has identified is at left back / roaming left winger, rather than being sort of like the follow up to Bissouma and Caicedo that we were expecting him to be.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he could be. Well, I love Baleba. He just makes me laugh. He's just one of those players that just makes you smile every time you see him. It's like,
yeah, apart from the times he gave the ball away a few too many times last season, but there are other times where you realise, how on earth did you win that ball?
Indeed. Okay, well, you're listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, of course, on our podcast. And we are brought to you in association with Flowers Unlimited. Now, one thing that isn't unlimited is our supply of midfielders, but we do have a new midfielder, and I was absolutely very, very, very impressed with him at the weekend, and that's Mats Vifa, Andy.
Yeah, this looks like, I can say it could be the signing of the summer, but there's some competition for that. So we have signed some good players. This is kind of like someone that can really make a contribution in the centre. He does tackle. I would say he's defensive, but he's also attacking as well. He had a phenomenal season with Feyenoord.
Yeah.
Last year, a little bit rusty against QPR the other week, but then you know the rust seems to be being shaken off quite a bit in the past week's training. Because by all the reports I heard of the Villarreal game, everyone was delighted with him, and this is part of the new energy now. I mean, we're all bemoaning like. We're still sort of like pining after Caicedo last year and like the weakness of our centre midfield. And now we're going over a new leaf. It's going to be a completely new midfield. It's going to play in a different way to how we did, you know, previously, you know, with Caicedo and McAllister, you know. So we've kind of got to like push that to one side and get over our desire to like replace people exactly as they were, because we've got a new manager now and he plays a different way. And Wefa looks like a tremendous addition. And again, I think one who will improve as the season goes on. I think that's probably going to be how we start the season. Yeah. Probably, you know, we're not going to be at 100%, but I reckon, let's see how good sort of 70% gets us off to a start.
Did you know that She's the One by Robbie Williams was number one when he was born?
Good grief.
You're not helping, mate. You're not really. So in that case, guns ahead, either AD or Andy, whoever's there, who's there. Which Albion player of the last 5 years is he? Would you most liken him to? Or are we talking a new beast entirely?
I think we're talking a new beast entirely.
Dale Stevens,
but
something different.
An upgrade on Stevens. Don't knock Dale Stevens. He's one of my heroes. I will not have it. The number of people that slagged him off, I won't have it. Carry on.
This is what, I wasn't slagging off. Dale Stevens was brought to us as a box-to-box midfielder. Mm-hmm. And on the occasions where he did that properly, he was impressive. Weaver's supposedly that sort of person, isn't he?
I'm going to say Richard Carpenter.
Well, yeah, same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Box-to-boxer.
Okay. Well, that's not the last 5 years. That's unless I've got time.
I get that. But yes, people of a certain vintage. But you know, when you're going to talk about Robbie Williams, she's the one. You know, you will be talking way outside our listenership here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about one of the other new signings, which is Yankuba Minteh.
You love him, don't you?
He's an enigma, waiting to be an annoyance, waiting to be a hero.
You think he's an outhouser?
I think there's a little bit of the Paolo Wanchope about him, as in the fact that he hasn't got a clue what he's doing next, he'll basically he'll delight, he'll frustrate, he'll be he's going to be adored, because I mean basically he makes things happen, and he scores goals. He's already got the celebration already. The fact that we've nicked him off Newcastle and they're really upset about it is hilarious. Lola's Theme by Shapeshifters was number one when he was born, by the way.
Oh, will you knock it off?
This was on the 22nd of July 2004 when he was
Stop
born.
Stop it. I can tell you what was number one when I was born. Bad Moon Rising.
I can check. I've got the app here.
Yeah, Creedence Clearwater Revival. Bad Moon Rising.
Yeah.
Adam Faith, Poor Me, I think. That was mine. Adam Faith, Poor Me, I think it was, or something.
I was Lieutenant Faith. Pigeon.
Lieutenant, please. You're English.
Mine was that We're All Going to San Francisco song.
Oh, yeah. Scott McKenzie.
Scott McKenzie, yeah.
So,
was yours Frank Sinatra, Phil?
Cheeky. No, it wasn't. It was the Rolling Stones. What's the one? I was born in a crossfire hurricane, whatever it starts that.
Street Fighting Man.
No, Jumping Jack Flash.
Oh, Jumping Jack Flash.
I think that was it. I think
no,
that was the one.
No, because you were born way before 68, mate.
Give Me Shelter.
I reckon it would have been Get Off My Cloud.
I will
anyway,
you look it up, Phil. So,
we're talking about Yankuba Minteh.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but he's. He's one of those players. I mean, there's a little bit of the Kazenga about him.
Get off of my cloud.
Thank you.
He's just like I said, he's going to be exciting. He's going to frustrate it. He does give the ball away quite a lot, but he does tend to win it back. His second touch could be a tackle.
The way you're saying it, that makes out to me, especially as you've mentioned Lualua, that would say to me that he, at the moment, His strength is coming off the bench.
No,
I think he starts. I think he's an absolute
starter, 100%.
No, I say that, but if AD's saying that he's going to give the ball away in the Premier League, you can't afford to do that. But when you're sort of like 70 minutes in, the opposition's knackered, and then he comes on to run amok, then you're laughing. But if you're going to start and you've got a player that in AD's consideration is going to give the ball away, it's not good form, is it?
I don't think, from what I've seen, I don't think it gives it away that much. I think.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
AD was slightly over egging that. But but what he wasn't over egging was just how flipping exciting he was.
Basically what I'm saying. He is an exciting thing. I mean, basically, if you look at Danny Welbeck's first goal at the weekend, it was a combination with like Vifa, like turned the ball over. Minteh was on it like a flash, played it through to Danny, who finished with a plum. And that's what Vifa's going to be doing. He's busy in there. Right? He's basically winning the ball back quickly, and basically there's going to be players around to turn it over quickly. It's just basically like losing the ball. It could be an issue, but I think it's something you can iron out. I think he's going to be brilliant.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he's absolutely electric. That's a brilliant signing, and for me, that's just like why I'm optimistic. For this season, not necessarily in terms of like where we're going to finish in the league. I say, no, I'm optimistic we're going to finish sixth or whatever, which I do not think we're going to finish sixth. But I think we're going to enjoy watching football. I mean, the last, for whatever reason, the second half of last season did take this, did take the shine off what was a fantastic first half of the season, where everyone was knackered. Like the team were knackered, the manager was knackered, the fans were knackered of watching it. And
I wanted the season to finish about 10 games before it did.
I did.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think you were alone in that, Al. I include the players in that.
I think
But
so.
okay,
That's,
well,
but hang on, sorry. I mean, that's an interest. That's like highlights the point of a certain level of uncertainty. If we still had RDZ and we'd had all these players that we've had come in, we'd have a kind of renewed optimism. But it's almost as if to say that, it's the man needed waking up himself. He needed some I don't know some happy pills or whatever it might be himself, and they just weren't there. So probably on balance, you can look back on it with hindsight and say, yes, it's probably right that he has gone, even though we didn't even get two seasons out of him. But that's what the my only sort of concern is the sheer size of the unknown. Because let's face it, the last time we had someone who took over in the close season was Potter, what, 4 or 5 years ago. But that was on the back of, well, what has gone before? It had to be better than that because Chris Hughton had stunk the place out. Whereas, and I, it's something that sort of, still to this day upsets me, knowing full well what a great manager and what a great man he is. And like I say, with De Zerbi, this absolute maniac on the touchline, playing this football that we'd never seen before. It's Hertzler has got what I fear is he's got a lot to live up to, but like you say, sixth I think is beyond the reach at the moment. But it's the amount of unknowns that concern me, and I really hope that in talking to you guys, you're saying, well, he's great, he's great, he's great. I'm thinking, well, in that case, fine, let's get the season started because.
I mean, it's going to be a baptism of fire. It's a tough start to the season with the fixtures that we've got.
Well, it is for everyone.
But I mean, basically, it's a list of teams you've got to play twice. But you could have possibly have a. An easier running, but I don't. There's no easy games in the Premier League, as we
No,
know. But
of course
it's
not.
Although we did have to suffer the humiliating indignity of losing to Man U and Chelsea towards the end of last season, and that's when you get to realise that actually the writing's on the wall.
Okay, well, speaking of Arsenal, we've nicked one of their finest with
Yeah.
Amario Kozier-Dubry joining on a free. Born 29th of May 2005, guys.
Oh, stop it.
Do you know what was at number one?
Oh, go on then.
It was Axel F by Crazy Frog.
Oh, there you go. Blimey.
I don't
Is it
know
my
any of these.
imagination or
I
is
don't know any
21st
of these
century
songs.
music a
And quite
chance?
right too, Phil. Quite right too. But yeah,
Dear
again,
me.
we've seen bits of him pre-season, scored a couple of goals out in Japan. Again, it looks like a very exciting talent, and the good thing is, I mean, he didn't play a single game in the first team for Arsenal, but the noises coming out of the Emirates is the fact that their fans are absolutely gutted that he's gone, and they're absolutely fuming that he's been allowed to go.
I think Newcastle fans feel the same actually about when with Minté going, and I think
Yeah.
it's isn't it down to offloading players, thanks to what was it PSR?
Yeah.
There's a touch of that I don't think Arsenal so much, but certainly Newcastle,
Yeah.
and hooray for Tony and Paul and everyone else, running our club properly. That if we're going to offload someone, getting £8 million for a player that we paid £3 million for. And is 114 years old just to go back home. That's pretty good going. So yeah, it's one of those things that
I think.
we're in a position where we shouldn't have to let our best players go unless they're absolutely prized from us.
Well, I mean, there is a lot, an awful lot of paper talk and rumours, and I mean, there's been headlines today that Man United are sniffing around Evan Ferguson. I can't see us selling anyone else. any big players this summer. No, you don't actually have to. I can only see people coming in now. I mean, there'll be players that go out on loan, of course. A player we haven't even mentioned yet, Malik Yalcore, who's meant to be absolutely fantastic. We're talking about N'Golo Kante kind of style player, absolutely electric, gets everywhere, and is just could be one of the best players we've ever seen. Talk is he's going to go out on loan as well.
Talk him up, why don't you?
Well, I think he's going to be fantastic. And you guys have been telling me that he's going out on loan, possibly to the Championship. I mean, he's only, like I said, he's only 18 as well. Born in November 2005 as well. So,
Adrian, please stop this.
But yes, I do know.
All the players seem to be coming in and going out on loan, and Facundo going out on loan and stuff. I just hope that they're right in signing these Premier League ready players, and we're not going to miss out on Kadala and the other chap O'Reilly. That we've got to get at least one of them. Otherwise, we're going to be putting out kids on the pitch, and as you said, we could end up with one injury short of a teenager fullback.
Well, again, here's the thing, Phil. I mean, basically, we've said this time and time again. If you're hearing about a player that we're trying to sign in the papers, it's not come from us. It's purely paper talks. It's coming from the agents. It's coming from the player themselves, possibly. But you won't hear it from the Albion until they sign the dotted line.
We all know that. We all know that. But whether it's either of those two or someone else that they're going to pull out of a hat, I do worry with so many of these signings going on loan. And as I said, with Buonanotte as well, it's kind of, must have a plan.
One did surprise me. That one has really surprised me. I thought Faku's been looking great pre-season. Yeah. I thought... it could be, you play him in the right position, you'll get a result. But we've just strengthened one of our opponents.
Well, like I say, the place that he plays, the position he plays best, I think, is the one that we're actually looking to strengthen most. Let's face it, we've bought loads of wingers and they've all gone out on loan again. And Buonanotte's place is not out on the wing. It is sort of kind of just behind the front two. And it looks like the players we've bought in have actually jumped the queue ahead of him. And I think you have to just remember also the fact is that he's still only 19. I don't care what was number one when he was born, but he's still only 19. And going on
it was Gold Digger by Kanye West.
And going on that pathway probably is something that should have happened when he signed immediately. I mean, because so many of the other players have done that. They've signed for us and either gone back to, like McAllister stayed in Argentina, Matoma went to Belgium.
Undav went to Belgium. Well, stayed in Belgium.
Yeah. And so that pathway, Buonanotte, it was quite a surprise that he stayed put when, frankly, like I say, everyone else of his calibre and his standing was going out on loan. And I think probably on balance, this is something that still does need to happen. And it's just happening now. The surprise is that he'd already played in the Premier League.
Yeah. Okay, well, you're listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, of course, on our podcast, and in association with Flowers Unlimited. Right then, as is tradition at this time of the year, we make our predictions. And actually, last year, we were surprisingly good at it.
hang on,
having a terrible year this year, guys.
Surprisingly good is a very flexible term.
one right.
Yeah. That was the surprise.
There was quite a lot. We got quite a lot right last year. I was going through it earlier. I was like, bloody hell. That's incredible. Insane. So let's start with let's start with who do you think is going to be your player of the season, Alan Wares?
I'm not going to look beyond Jan-Paul Van Hecker. I think the improvement he's made over the past 18 months has been astronomical. He looks so at home, so comfortable on the ball. He's showing Lewis Dunk how to do it. He's certainly showing Adam Webster how to do it. I don't see anything in his arsenal at the moment that says he's going to suddenly fall away. I mean, everyone has a lean period now and again, but the improvements that fella's made, I think he's going to be another one of those rock solid seasons. Mm-hmm. JP's my my tip for player of the season.
Okay, Andy, do you agree?
No, I do not. although I do agree that Van Hecker's a brilliant player and will probably be in the top three, I reckon, because he is great. My number one's going to be João Pedro, because I think he's the best player at the club, quite frankly. Simple as that. Absolute sheer quality.
And getting
and
better.
It's not, and like, you know, like someone like Minto could have like a brilliant season and provide it. But I just think there's so much more, there's so much more control and class about Pedro rather than like the pure energy. This guy is class and we've just got to enjoy him while we can, quite frankly.
Okay. Philip.
JPVH for me too. I think the way he played last season and his entire time with us, every time he plays, you think he's not making any mistakes. He's learnt so much from the people around him, and he's got some natural ability. He's got bags of natural ability. I think De Zerbi knew exactly what to do with him, and the thing is, he's a sort of player now that will slot straight into the side alongside Lewis, I imagine, and I think he's just going to show us the way.
Yeah. Okay, Marcus.
You know what? I've been thinking about it, and I keep changing my mind. I think I've changed it again, actually.
Can we get you back every week to change your mind?
It depends on who stays fit next season, to be quite honest with you.
That's cheating.
So on that basis alone, I'm going to go with JPVH as well, because he's probably the only bugger who is going to, because Pedro had his moments of not being fit, as did Matoma, and I'm sure our new wingers are probably made of glass and will be scrabbling around in January again. So, I'm going to go for JPVH as well.
Okay, so that's so three for Van Hecker, one for Pedro, and I have gone for Mats Vifa. I think I've seen a player that I'm going to very much enjoy watching. I think when the player of the season gongs are handed out, it's usually a midfielder or a defender. Very rarely does a striker get it. I agree with everything you said about Pedro. I agree with everything you said about Van Hecker. But I think that Vifa is going to be exciting. I think he's going to be decisive in the middle of the pitch. And I'm really looking forward to seeing more of him.
A new Albion hero, you reckon, yeah?
Yeah, good shout.
Good shout, yeah.
Okay. Number two, then. Who do we think Philip Shelley is going to be the top goalscorer of this season?
I don't think there's any thinking about it, is there? It's going to be Pedro, so long as he doesn't move.
Yeah, can we just say Pedro, all of us, and move on? Yeah. No one's going to disagree.
I would agree.
No one's going to disagree. I mean, it's going to follow on from last. Assuming it follows on from last season.
Yeah,
you know, he's the penalty taker.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe we should say who's going to be the second top scorer. That's a debate.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. You can have that
change it now.
Second top scorer will be Inter.
Yes, it will be.
Who?
Okay, all right. Danny Welbeck started.
What about Matoma starts getting back on?
I've started a row already.
Solly Mark.
Yeah. You know what?
Let's stick with top scorer.
I'll tell you who I'm going to go for as second top scorer. João Pedro.
Yeah. Top scorer is João Pedro, and then second top scorer is João Pedro's penalties.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This is one that caused a little bit of a debate last year. It was the one which we nicked from Andy, because he used to come out with his wild card every year, and this is the number of goals that we scored. Now, we all went over like three figures last season. Do we think we're going to be scorey again this year? Marcus?
No, I reckon about 90. And we'll probably concede 110 if you're saying about the long ball over the top, which we still haven't sold 4 years later, which is annoying. But yeah, I'm going to say 90.
Okay, Phil.
82.
82 for Phil Shelley. Al?
Ooh. It's probably more hope than expectation, so I'll say 96.
Are these league goals?
No, these are
They're
league
just goals.
Cup.
Andy just goals. Bass?
Oh, right. See, I've done a prediction for league goals.
Oh.
And I had us scoring 60. So we're just basically the FA Cup and League Cup to add to that. We're not adding
61 then.
The EFL Cup. I think scoring 30 goals in the other two cup competitions is a bit of a stretch. So I'm going to go around 87.
87. Okay. I've gone 79.
I've gone 60 in the league.
Yeah. Like 79 in total.
Sorry, can I assume that Phil's lowest there again?
I was 62 in the league.
82, yeah. No, I'm lowest. 79.
I thought 62 in the league.
Oh, you said 62. Sorry, I thought you said 82.
No, no, no. No, I said 82 in total, but I'd initially thought 62 in the league. That's what
I thought. 82. Yeah. So this is in total. Okay. All right, so new one for this year.
I was going to say, I also agree with Marcus about the defence. Unless it sorts itself out, we're going to be what it's like going to be watching Worthing every week.
Okay, there's the new one for this year. I've asked for the most number of assists. Now, obviously, Pascal's been walking away with that crown for the last 7 years. Who is going to pick up the crown, Alan Wares?
Well, provided he learns how to cross properly rather than just head down like a Kawasaki nutter, he has it within him to actually overtake anything that Gross would have done. So I'm going to say Kaoru Mitoma.
Mitoma, okay. Andy?
I'm going to say Minte.
Is this legal cup, league and cup, or just league?
Just in total.
Football.
Yeah. Okay, football. All first team, okay.
Okay. Marcus?
If fit, Mitoma with Alan.
I do love the way that you actually put a caveat on each of your answers.
Yeah.
Not wishing to sidle with.
You have to after last season.
It's just true.
I've got three names written down here.
Well, that's cheating. That's cheating, isn't it?
Kevin asked me.
I'll come to you in a minute, Phil. No, actually, let's have yours first to see if you...
No, I want to hear your three now.
Oh, come on, mate.
Okay.
The
person with the second most assists last year is a person we've not mentioned on the show at all yet,
Jolly
which
Mark.
Is Simon Adingra.
Oh yeah, forgot about him.
I think the answer is going to be Mitoma. I think if he stays fit and he's just lightning. He's people are scared to touch him in the box. If he can get in there.
The only thing about him is his final pass at times does seem to be careless.
It's my only argument with that would be, I mean, I would have been a lot happier if Undav had stuck around because we don't have that kind of fox in a box kind of player at the moment. Pedro doesn't really do that too many tap-ins. Fergie can get himself in there and slide in at the far post, etc. But Undav was less like that had that certain X factor in and around that 6 yard box. And I think that is something we are going to be getting balls into the box from judging from what I've seen pre-season. And I think that the wingers will be obviously the assist meisters this year. And I think it'll be Mitoma, but I will say Adingra as well.
No, you can't.
Right, I'm going to say Adingra. I'm going to say Adingra just to be different.
Thank you. Right, Phil, your
Thank
turn.
You.
I'm going to say Julio then, because I don't want to say the same as everyone else.
Julio.
Okay.
The schoolyard.
I wrote down Mitoma, Adingra, Inciso, so I'm going with Inciso as the others have all been had.
Fair enough.
There we go. Right, I'm going to start with you on this one, Andy. You are... Normally, come up with a very interesting wild card. What have you got for us?
Well, as I'm wont to do, I like to repeat my wild card. And I'm going to be no different this year. In fact, I'm even more convinced I have a better chance of making this one last even longer than last season. We will not draw nil-nil in the league.
To be fair, it wasn't until the January that actually happened. That was a good, at one point, it looked like that was going to be...
And from what I've seen so far, I'd be stunned if we have a nil-nil in a league match.
Are you talking attack and defence here?
We might get one in a cup game, but if we're not playing like the full squad or something.
How many nil-nils were there last season? Do we know?
Three, I think.
I think there's a few more than that actually towards the end.
Okay,
I can't remember. So, I could look it up, but I can't be bothered.
So Andy's wild card is no nil nils this season. Yes,
in the league.
Yes, that is
in the league. Okay.
Yeah.
Marcus Hancock's your wild card, please.
Okay. Right. This is going to be random. And I'm going to say this. This is not going to be own goals, but I think that this season, we will have a goalkeeper scoring a goal. Might be in a penalty shootout, might even be from open play when they go up for a corner.
Hang on, is Phil flapping a piece of paper saying just the same?
Yeah, it looks like it, yes. And I haven't talked to him about this beforehand.
What goalkeeper?
Oh, no. I'm not going to say which one because one I'd like to never see play for us again, and he's probably going to start against Everton, annoyingly. More than likely, Verbruggen, because hopefully he should be number one once he's fit. But, you know, you never know. If it's an early round League Cup competition, it goes to penalties, and, you know, Steele is there and has to take one, then it might be Steele. So I reckon
very close. He was very close to scoring last season, wasn't he?
Well, quite. That's mine. A goalkeeper, a Brighton over Albion goalkeeper, first team goalkeeper will score a goal. Okay. Whether that's an illegal
pass. A different one, Alan.
I'm really hedging my bets here that when it comes to the end of season player of the season, and they announce numbers 1, 2, and 3, one of those, at least one of those 1, 2, or 3, will be Dutch.
Who's hedging your bets?
That could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, what, 4 to choose from now?
3.
Is it 3? 4. We've got Veltman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Veltman, yeah.
Veltman, yeah, of course. Verbruggen, and Matty Curley.
Yeah, well, there we go. I'm going to go for, we are actually going to reach a final this year.
Yeah, good one. I like that.
I don't know which one, but I think we're going to reach a final. We might not necessarily win, but you know, we've been to semi-finals. It's about time we got to a final.
Yours, Phil, in the end. Sorry.
Well, I actually wrote down 2 here, and I crossed one out because I didn't want to upset Marcus. But I said Steele will play 15 games or more for us this season.
Yes, Phil.
But then I thought, I don't want to ruin Marcus's evening, so I wrote down.
Does, I'll be going to less than 15 Albion games this season if that bloody happens. I'll tell you.
And so then
is just let us know in advance if that idiot is going to be playing in goal. Because if he is...
But I crossed it out, Marcus. I crossed it out. But, and I put Verbruggen to score a goal in a penalty shootout.
There you go.
So I'm going to stick with the second one. I'm going to stick the goalie to score in a shootout.
You know, we've probably wildly far of the mark, like we usually are. But, you know, it's the excitement. It's the first game of the season. And, you know, we're all going to be... having up to Everton and with that joy and expectation of like seeing our team again, and the love for the Albion, which we've all got in spades, of course. But we'll see what happens at the weekend. So, but in the meantime, thank you to Andy Bass, thank you to Marcus Hancock, thank you to Bill Shelley, thank you to Alan Wears, and I have been AD Packham, and this has been the Albion Roar on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast, and now in association with Flowers Unlimited. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Cheers. Bye.
Say you wanna get to know me.